Thank you. Good day, friends. We come to you with an opportunity of discussing the things of Christ, and especially these days, the gospel of the grace of God. And we're in the book of Galatians. You remember the Apostle Paul gave to us in the book of Romans, especially in chapters 3 through 5, the wonderful revelation of the gospel of the grace of God, God's good news for men today. This gospel of which he said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, whether Jew or Gentile. For therein, in this gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now this is the contention we have now in the book of Galatians. These Galatian Christians had turned away from the sufficiency of Christ by faith and were adding the works of the law and ceremonies and keeping of days to what Christ had accomplished. And I want to say very bluntly again, the rarest thing today on God's earth is the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God. It's so contrary to human nature. If there had been any way whereby man could merit the favor of God to be saved, there would have been no need for Christ to have come and died and raised again. You think that through, my friend. If there's any possibility of a man or a woman fitting themselves by their works or by their religious exercises to fit themselves for the presence of God, there would be no need for Christ to have come and died. He came because of the utter fall and helplessness and ruin of man. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I tell you, I spent three sessions with a dear man who was sick in bed. In fact, he died. A man in his 50s, late 50s. And I was trying to present to him the gospel of Christ. And he said to me, Mr. Mitchell, I can realize how a sinful man needs Christ, but me, I have never sinned. And the third time I was visiting him, I said, you know, there's just one little verse I would like to give to you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He said, read that again. I said, why don't you read it and see it for yourself? He said, no, I can't. My eyes are too bad, I can't see. You read it. And I read it to him three or four times, and he said, well, well, he said, after all these years, I've been wrong. I can only be redeemed, become a child of God, saved, fit for God's presence, by simple faith, by no works at all. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. This is why we have peace. We've stopped our deadly doing. We start trusting the Savior. Did you hear what I said? Let us stop our deadly doing and trust the Savior. Now, someone's going to say, now, Mr. Mitchell, if you do that, that means you go out and going to sin. That leads to antinomianism, if I can be a little theological there. No, my friend, the more you see the grace of God, the more you see the sufficiency of the work of Christ, the more it gets a hold of your heart, the wonders of his grace, the more you want to live for God. That's what Paul says in 2:19. I through the law am dead to the law. What for? To go out and do what I want to do? That I might live unto God. He emancipates me from sin, and he emancipates me from the law. What for? That I might be freed from sinful works? Yes, that I might be free from dead works. Dead works are those things you do to try and merit favor with God. And he frees us from it. What for? We might live unto God. Now, we have just found in Galatians chapter 3, this is where we are, by the way, in Galatians chapter 3, the apostle in chapters 3 and 4 is going to prove the sufficiency of the gospel of the grace of God. He proves it, first of all, by their own experience. It was by faith. Then he took Abraham in verses 6 to 9, and as an illustration, that justification has always been by faith. From Abraham right on down to the centuries, Even those who live under the law were saved by faith, not by keeping the law. Now David lived under the law, and yet David said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will impute righteousness without works." Now we come to the sufficiency of his gospel, testified to not only by Abraham in his experience, but also by the Scriptures. And now we come to an amazing passage, verses 10 to 12. 10 to 12 of Galatians 3. I want to read them to you. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Now here we have a very, very important passage. Notice, please, in verse 10, "As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Now, it is true, and I'm sorry I have to say this, there are a great many people who have trusted the Savior. And I'm not questioning their salvation. They have trusted the Savior. But because of instruction that they have received, they have put themselves under the law of Moses as a rule of life. As a rule of life. And may I say, according to verse 10, if you put yourself under the law, even as a rule of life, you put yourself under the curse of the law. It curses everyone who is under it. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Why turn from the grace of God which justifies to that which can only curse? This is the affirmation of Scriptures. The Scripture from Genesis clean on through the book never advocates this. It never advocates that you can be saved or made good or made righteous or fit yourself for the presence of God by keeping the law. Nobody's ever done that. And you take your Old Testament Scriptures, if you please, even those who lived under the law, and you'll notice the ones who were saved by faith. God has only had one way of saving people, and that's by faith. Now we can prove and manifest our faith by obedience to the Word of God. That's true. But not to be saved, not to be kept saved, but to prove to other men, to prove to people that we belong to God, that we're His children. It does not say, blessed are they who do their best. But cursed is everyone who doesn't do all the law all the time. You can keep it for 70 years and then break it. It's just too bad, brother. You say, sir, this is pretty hard. No, I'm trying to free you from something which curses. The grace of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that God has ever given to man to free them from the curse of the law. Now, remind me, I say this, lest someone misunderstand me, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the law. The law is holy, the law is just, the law is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. If there's any wrong at all, it's with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What for? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us, not through us, but in us, by the Spirit of God. I say the law is holy, just, and good. Nothing wrong with the law. Charles, with us. I say again, why turn from the grace which declares you righteous to that which can only curse? Why aren't we satisfied with what Christ has accomplished? Why do we have to run to the works of the flesh and the works of the law? And even though you did keep the whole work of the law, what would you have? You would not have the righteousness of Christ. You wouldn't have the righteousness of God. You'd have your own. Do you think that's going to stand in the presence of God? In fact, Isaiah 64:6 says, our righteousnesses are in God's sight as filthy rags. Why exchange the grace of God which pronounces you righteous for the law of God, the law of Moses, which can only curse? This is beyond me. It's really beyond me. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. I say it's beyond me. Why, people who've tasted of the peace of God that passeth understanding, who revel in sins forgiven and having a wonderful Savior, that they should turn and trust themselves by keeping some ceremony or going through some ordinance or trusting the Ten Commandments or some of the rest of the law. And please, please, don't you just say one thing. Don't you say that Christ fulfilled all the sacrificial law and left the moral law. As far as the Word of God's concerned, it's all one whole piece. It's all one whole piece. The law of Moses includes the whole business. That's called the law. And you and I have been redeemed from it. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. And again I say, if you break the law in just one point, then you come under the curse of the law of God. You see, there's only one place of liberty and freedom and joy and blessing. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man who's in Christ shall live the life of faith. Now may the Lord bless you today. Are you reading this book of Galatians? You keep on reading it. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.